Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And welcome. Thank you for joining us today. This is an hour devoted to learning something more, not just about the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax, but about how, what, and why we believe as we do. An hour for the open-minded, willing to challenge some of those old ideas behind what we think we know, who we are, and who we might become. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and you can log on by going to eldontaylor.com/chat, where my partner Ravinder and her team will greet you. Now, Ravinder, you wanted to remind everyone that we will be leaving Hay House Radio at the end of the month. Our last show will be on the 27th of August. We were deluged with questions about our leaving, and it really came down to the fact that it was necessary in order to obtain that two-hour show everyone has been asking for. So, go ahead, you pick up the story from here.
We are not leaving Hay House because we're taking a vacation. No, we've got a whole bunch of really exciting stuff in the works. In fact, we have a special event going on that we will be announcing very soon. So I can't tell you quite yet. But in order to find out, simply subscribe to Eldon's e-newsletter. And thanks to one of our listeners, she pointed out, you know, I told everyone to subscribe last week, but I buried our subscribe box. Mm-hmm. Not very efficient of me. I apologize to everyone out there. If you go to eldontaylor.com, at the top in the navigation bar on the right-hand side, you will see very clearly now the subscribe box. So do subscribe. You won't regret it. As I said, we do have something really exciting happening. I think it launches in September, but I still have to iron out some of those details. But you definitely want to miss it. Go to eldontaylor.com and subscribe. See you there.
Okay, so once again, our last show with Hay House will be on the 27th of August. And on that day, we will have a sort of trip down memory lane. Lots of special things for that last show. We would love to have you join us, and we welcome your letters. So please do subscribe to my newsletters and or join me on Facebook, so we can stay in touch. All right, one more point of business. I will be facilitating a hands-on workshop titled Mind Mastery for Life Mastery at the November I Can Do It conference in Pasadena. Please plan to join me. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. All of the details are available on my website, eldontaylor.com, as well as on the Hay House site. I would love to meet every one of you personally, so please do try to join me. Okay, now every week I read some of your letters as our way of honoring your input. Last week our show was all about meals that heal, and based on your feedback, you all loved our special guest, Julie Daneluk. Carl wrote, "Wow, what a lot of information in such a short time. I will have to play and replay today's show. She sure knows her stuff." That's a fact, Carl. Jerry wrote, "What a timely show. GMOs are something we all need to be talking about. Thank you for all the great subjects you cover." Now, this is a bit of a side, Rav, but this morning I posted on my Facebook page a new report that The Guardian had on the front page about stem cell burgers. You know, a burger, a hamburger made out of stem cells. I don't know how far all of this artificial food's going to go, but it really reminds me of the movie Soylent Green.
But are these human stem cells or animal stem cells?
Well, these are animal stem cells, but if you can create the burger from stem cells, you can create it from stem cells. And
I wouldn't trust them anyway.
You know, listen, if we're going to use the stem cell and we're, you know, we have a country that people are dying because they don't have vitamin A available, well, why not splice a DNA that will carry some high vitamin A content into it? Next thing you know, you've got GMOs in. We've got synthetic food.
It is really
scary. That's a whole other discussion,
isn't it?
It
makes me feel ill thinking about it, actually.
Loretta wrote, "Absolutely fantastic show today. I learned so much about GMOs and what to watch for. I'm grateful to you, Dr. Taylor, for bringing people to your program that are concerned about the same things we are concerned about. Great chat room. I love all the different thoughts and opinions. It keeps one's mind open. Thank you." I have to apologize to all of you out there. If I stumble a little bit today, it's because I've got a lip that doesn't want to cooperate with my my ability to speak. Actually, I have two of them. This last weekend, my wife and son and I were out biking, and it was a marvelous, like, 20-mile ride along the river. Great, great day. Beautiful, glorious. And we decided we'd just get off the trail and go into a mall where there was a Barnes & Noble and have a cup of coffee, and we did. And on the way out, I decided I was going to jump this curb. Well, my wife says it was a very high curb. Whatever the curb was, as a kid, I know I would have been able to jump it, but I didn't. The bike did a tea kettle on me, and my face kind of hit the concrete, didn't it, Princess?
That was really scary. I can still see you going over those handlebars, and it hurts even in my memory. So that tells you how bad it was.
Yeah, you know, and then the doc, he gives me, an anesthetic, and he says later, "Are you feeling this?" "Yeah, I am."
Because it all poured out. Yeah,
it all came out. I thought you would. What a kind guy, huh? What
lovely.
Kind. Okay. Edith wrote, "Loved your show today. Julie really knows her business. I am sad to see you leave Hay House Radio. Don't they have two-hour shows? I know that if I was a marble in your head, I never get to just sit still and rest. Please tell us where you're going." That's cute. Really cute. Comment, that marble comment, Edith. As for where, we have not yet given a final to either of the two networks courting us. As I expressed last week, it is with no small amount of regret that we leave Hay House Radio. So I may take a bit of a break first as well. Please join me on Facebook or subscribe to my newsletter, and as soon as we decide, I'll let you know. Monica wrote, "I am just so moved today by all that you shared. Can't explain. Miracle. I even had tears because for some reason, all just reached a deeper and collective meaning to me. Thank you." Now, it's not uncommon for our guests to email me after the show, but this one from Julie I decided to share. "Thank you so much for this opportunity. I found I wanted to share so much that I glossed over some of your questions. I think the idea of 2 hours is fantastic. Your generosity to the world is spectacular. Folks are so lucky to have so much face-to-face time with you and Ravinder. I wish I lived closer and would be thrilled to cook for the two of you."
Well,
now,
cool.
Julie, we wish you lived much closer as well. But one of these days, we may just show up in your neighborhood, and watch out. We will take you up on that offer. I don't know. We might camp on her front lawn, huh?
Yeah, I'll beg for food.
Terry wrote, "Sad to see you leave Hay House. I will follow you to the new show wherever you go." Tanya wrote, "I can't believe Hay House is letting you go. Your show is the best show they have. Every week I learn something new. I became a member just so I could get all of your shows that I had missed." We're sorry too, Tanya, but Hay House does not do two-hour formats. Tammy wrote, "I'm so sorry to learn that I won't be able to hear Eldon on Hay House anymore. I hope there will be another place I can tune him in." Gwyneth wrote, "Wonderful show and chat. Thanks. Looking forward to the longer show." Celestial B wrote, "Woo-hoo! More in-depth shows. I was listening to ET on Contact Talk Radio before Hay House. I will be there wherever there is." Now, we received many more letters regarding our departure from Hay House Radio, and we are very grateful for your support. Moving on. Aaron wrote, "Just encountered you in the movie State of Mind. I'm a teacher at a residential teen drug rehab program here in Colorado. What you have to say has a lot to offer these youngsters." Well, thank you, Aaron. And let me remind you, all of you out there, that the new movie State of Mind, The Psychology of Control, is available on the internet at YouTube for a limited time. And you can view the entire movie free. You can also get your own DVD of the movie at Amazon and other resellers. If you haven't yet read my book, Mind Programming, I would strongly urge you to do so. There is so much coming out in the news today about mind control and spying systems that having the grounding in this area of knowledge is almost necessary for everyone. Speaking of that, remember yesterday I brought you that new piece on the implant in your tooth?
Oh, I know.
That records your oral habits, what you eat. Crazy. Viola wrote, "I love your books and your Inner Talk subliminal CDs. I have found them to be very helpful over the years, and I know they work. Keep up the good work." Now, Stephen wrote, "I wanted to take the time to profoundly thank you for your book, I Believe. I read this book one chapter at a time each night, rereading many of your thoughts as I proceeded. I feel you covered our common human condition and the underlying purpose for our individual journeys in a compelling, loving, and practical way. You have written this in such a way that I believe this is of incredible value to everyone in every walk of life. This work carries universal messages to all of the world from which any person with eyes to see, ears to hear, and an open heart will gain life lessons that apply to them personally. As they look at their own journey and adjust their sails wherever needed to better navigate through life and perhaps find their connection and purpose if they are searching. I have seen the effects of belief in my own life through powerful positive forces as well as negative and at times very black forces and all the more subtle results in between. I believe that universal intelligence, God, is wanting nothing other than powerful positive forces to propel us through life. But it is our free will that allows us to weave our own experiences from which we have the opportunity to learn. For me, I loved your take on all the ways any person can create these positive forces in their lives by the decisions they make in how they think and the things they say and do. I also found your thoughts on service and giving very compelling and a great assist at this point in my own life as to the direction and purposes that I am pursuing. I strongly support your thoughts on hard work and what that really means when done with the right spirit. I found solid ground as you discussed science and some of the popular spiritual movements from a pragmatic and spiritual perspective. As each chapter ends, your questions that are posed under reflections are a wonderful way to create self-analysis and therein application and solutions. I greatly respect that this is a book written by someone who has lived life and brought to the table a wealth of experience and learning at many levels and from many arenas. Thank you for all your thoughts, research, and insights. I will read this book again and highly recommend it to others. All I can say, Stephen, is thank you. For all of you out there, I believe is not about what I believe per se. It is rather about what you choose to believe. Albeit often those choices are unconscious. Please give it a read and let me know your thoughts. All right, that's all the time we'll take for letters today, but I do invite you to opine by sending your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. We can't get all of your letters on the air, but they do impact our programming, and we thank you for your continued support and feedback. Now to today's show, Going Natural. Now, this show was actually requested by my lovely bride. If you have seen her pictures on Facebook, then you know she has silver hair. But it wasn't always that way. There was a time she dyed it regularly. And in my view, quite systematically, her hair lost its beauty and luster. In fact, I believe it was actually thinning her hair. So there came, that moment when I began to suggest she stop dyeing it. Maybe I nagged her a little bit about it even. Now, she may not admit it today, but initially she was quite resistant to the idea. However, over the coming months, she finally decided to try letting it go gray or silver naturally. Well, her hair bounced back. It regained its natural fullness and beauty. And then the day came that we were sitting in a 5-star restaurant, and a gentleman at a table near us had to tell my pretty bride just how lovely her hair was. Believe it or not, she somehow thought I was biased or something.
You are biased.
But when total strangers began complimenting her on her hair, everything changed. Isn't that right, Rav?
It is. You know, I get approached in restaurants, fast food places, on the airplane. You know, people just come out of me out of the blue. Yeah, it is cool. It does make me feel good. And it teaches me a lot, too, but that's what today's show is all about.
All right. Now, according to today's guest, going natural is a new mega trend. Our guest, Diana Lewis-Jewell, has been called everything from the guru of gray hair to Moses leading us out of the wilderness of hair coloring. As the author of Going Gray, Looking Great, the first book of its kind for women considering letting their silver shine. Now, men have this same issue, you know. Maybe it's their beard or their hair, but it's not atypical to find men coloring their hair beginning sometime in their 30s. So, is going natural a thing for men as well? What about all the other trends? Botox, facelift, tummy tucks, etc. Should these be part of the going natural trend as well? I mean, after all, what's wrong with coloring your hair or undertaking these other trends? I mean, because you dye your hair, does that make you inauthentic? According to CNN, $10 billion is spent every year on cosmetic procedures. Of that, about 85% of the procedures were non-surgical things like Botox, which are cheaper than surgery. In total, there were 2.5 million Botox injections, more than 1 million procedures with other chemical fillers, and 1.3 million laser hair removals done in 2010, despite the recession. As for surgery, the most popular procedure was breast augmentation. There were 300,000 of those surgeries, followed by liposuction and eyelid surgery. That's not all. According to a YWCA report, Beauty at Any Cost, women spend $7 billion a year, or $100 a month, on things like makeup and toiletries. That's worth repeating. Approximately $100 every month, and that's just for the woman's side of things. As I said, men may not want to admit it, but the fact is they are just as conscious of aging and attractiveness as women, but perhaps with a little less pressure to be so. And we'll talk about that difference in pressure today as well. But when you look at the dollars alone, well, that sounds like the real megatrend. All right, let me tell you a little more about our guest today. Diana Lewis-Jewell has written 7 nonfiction books, including the longest-selling beauty book of all time, Making Up by Rex. A former marketing director of Vogue magazine and promotion director of 17, she is one of New York's best-known freelance copywriters. With clients comprising a virtual who's who in beauty and fashion, Diana lives in New York City with her husband, David. And she states that she is currently, very happily, going gray. So let's get her in here. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Diana Lewis-Jewell.
Hi, Eldon and Ravinda. I'm just delighted to be here today.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Like I say, this show is one that my wife really said, we have to do this show. We have to bring, and I have to admit, I found your book very interesting. But to begin with, what prompted you as a fashion expert with your background to go natural? And does that mean natural all the way or just with regards to hair color?
No, I'm not going natural all the way. Actually, it was a funny story. When my literary agent first approached me with the topic, I was convinced it wasn't a beauty issue because, you know, I came from a fashion background.
Right.
So, you know, I was a happy little single process blonde getting highlights about twice a year. And I was convinced I could write a book without actually going gray. That's my confession. I mean, an author can write a murder mystery without committing murder. So, you know, I thought I could tell all the women of the world how to go gray without actually doing it myself. And as I got further into the research, I held my first focus group. And I looked around the room, and I was kind of the odd man out. You know, I was blonde. And so most of these women had such lovely shades of silver and pewter and ice and vanilla. And I remember thinking, maybe there's something to this. And then I got very busy, and I was doing more research and more writing, and I started skipping my hair appointments. And I didn't look up until about 6 months later and realized I had a good 3 inches of gray. And the funniest thing is, when I finally posed for the back cover jacket of the book, my publisher said, "You're not gray enough." That was the best I could do at the time. But since then, I've gone completely silver.
Well, it's a great shot, and you have lovely hair. You heard the setup piece. There seems to be a different, you know, set of pressures on men than on women regarding beauty, and particularly the idea of looking young. And we had Linda Evans on the show not long ago, and she is convinced it is the extra pressure on women, even the competition between women, or maybe I should say especially, that leads them to try to remain young-looking just as long as they can. Do you think this is a correct analysis? I mean, what are your thoughts on the different pressures, if any?
Well, first of all, you know, you can see the George Clooney's and the Richard Gere's, and they're all tall. They all say that they look distinguished, etc. But a woman that goes gray has a really particular set of problems with going gray. And I think as a society, we have a terribly skewed idea of what a certain age is supposed to look like. I mean, what's a grandmother supposed to look like? There are women who are in their 40s and are grandmothers. And what's a 67-year-old woman supposed to look like? Old, right? Preconceived notion, old. What's a 35-year-old woman supposed to look like? Young. But until we deal with these misconceptions, we can never break through to being comfortable with just who we are.
And they really are misconceptions.
Yes. I mean, this bit about 50 being the new 40 or 60 being the new 50, that just isn't right. That doesn't wash anything.
I think Geraldo Rivera recently embarrassed himself by saying 70 was the new 50 and, uh-huh. and posting on Twitter, you know, nude from the waist up.
Well, I have a funny story about a woman who wrote to me recently. And she said, 70 is the new 71. but there's a special stigma still comes in when women purposely choose to go gray. And it's still a very hot-button issue with women. I mean, the notion is there, and very often not unexpressed, that going gray is equivalent to letting yourself go. You know, you'll get it from well-meaning coworkers. Have you skipped too many hair appointments, darling? You know? and to friends, I mean, I won't let you go gray. And to colorists. Colorists are notorious for this. And they'll say, you know, honey, it'll age you 10 years. But actually it doesn't. It casts great light around your face, which does wonders with wrinkles, might I add.
It really does. I personally find it very attractive. But, you know, we have so much esteem wrapped up in how we look that, you know, it really becomes an issue of our own self-image and our own level of confidence, doesn't it?
Of course, of course. I mean, I think the deeper issue is that hair, especially, is part and parcel of a woman's identity. And that's a very tricky thing to change, indeed. I mean, we want to be seen as voluptuous and sexy. We want to be seen as vital and successful. We want to be seen as modern and current. But keep in mind, silver is just another color your hair can be. It's just another color, just like blonde, brunette, and red. And we've seen how glorious it can be.
Now, I have to get you right there, because my wife asked me to. Silver Sisters. I enjoyed your book. I'm going to ask you after we come back from break whether or not this book is good for men or not. But my wife thinks this shouldn't be Silver Sisters. What is it, Rab?
It should be Silver Sisters and Brothers. You know, the fact is there is not as much pressure on men, but there most definitely is certainly a pressure still there. And I think for me, the two of us going gray together or going silver together just made it easier.
Yeah, well, my beard goes gray while my hair goes out.
But you look fabulous.
I lose the lion's mane.
You look fabulous, and I think lots of men can do, you know, with following suit as well. The fact is, when you are happy with who you are, you will look younger. Doesn't matter whether you color your hair or you don't. And the more you're coloring your hair or doing all of these other artificial things, the less happy you can be with yourself. Obviously, you're not, because it's like, oh, my gosh, I can't be gray or I'll look old. And so you're not happy. So, yeah, the esteem issue is vital, and it's vital for both men and women.
You know, we've got a hard break coming up. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you, Diana, about Ravinder's comments, whether or not you find them, valid. We're speaking with Diana Lewis-Jewell about her book, Going Gray, Looking Great. I may be admitting something here, but I found the book very fascinating. I would encourage you to read it. If you're not already in our chat room, now's a great time to get there. Just go to eldentaylor.com/chat. Do stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up after a few words from our friends. I'll get it out.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Diana Lewis-Jewell about her book, Going Gray, Looking Great. But before we get back to the show, I want to invite you once again to join me on Facebook as a friend or a fan. I post regularly everything from where I am and what's on next to the latest in science, technology, and consciousness studies, and from time to time, some of my own opinions about the world we live in. I also want to remind you to be sure and register to receive my free newsletter when you visit my site. All right, before the break, Ravinder had just told us that if you're happy, then your beauty is more radiant. You look better anyway. Diana, is that true? Would you say that, you know, people are happier when they go gray and their beauty is therefore, what, shines through more?
Well, I don't know about that, because I think these women do feel more beautiful when they go gray, and I think that it does show.
How do you personally feel? Do you feel more beautiful?
I sure do. I sure do. But I think a woman can also color her hair and look just as beautiful if it's done well and if it's done right.
You do. Mm-hmm. So you're not hard on going gray. It's okay for them to color their hair?
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not a hardliner. I mean, there are women who come back to us maybe 2, 3, 4 times. And usually the third time's the charm. When they want to go gray. And we decided to do a survey. And the results were quite surprising. If I can talk about this survey now.
Please do.
So many women have had a long history of hair coloring. More than 28% have been coloring for more than 20 years, and 23% have been coloring for 11 to 15 years. But basically, the most common reason for going silver was authenticity. They want to be real. They want to be just who they are. You know, after all, it's taken a while for women to be comfortable in their own skin.
And, doesn't that imply what Ravinder said, that, you know, when you're feeling authentic, this is who I am,
exactly.
You know, I like myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I've been created, you know. That you are going to be happier than when you're concealing something or you're constantly hiding something. And isn't that, in a sense, what coloring your hair is about? I mean, you're not just trying to turn the clock back. In reality, you're telling yourself that somehow you're less than perfect, that somehow, you know, you're missing a fundamental about who you are that makes you, what should I say, that makes you inferior to other women.
That makes you inferior to other women. I don't think there's a woman out there who continues to color her hair that feels that she's inferior to other women. I think she feels that she's better than all of these poor ladies that have chosen to go silver, you know?
Oh, you do?
Oh, I do. I do.
Now, the first chapter of your book, Having a Gray Hair Day,
mm-hmm.
I think might even contradict that. I mean, flesh that out for us. What is a gray hair day?
Having a gray hair day. I have to go back to my book to see what it says. yeah, I think having a gray hair day can be anything. I mean, we all have good hair days and bad hair days. And if we happen to have a gray hair day, it's just, you know, sort of like in between, the middle between good hair days and bad hair days. But I think women can tend to feel blah about their hair, and especially when they're going through the process of transitioning.
But when you have that gray hair day, then you're really looking at yourself, and you as you say, a bad hair day. You are saying, I don't look my best.
Yeah.
And to say that is to say that I'm less than perfect, isn't it? I'm not happy with who I am.
I don't know. It's not saying you're less than perfect, because tomorrow might be a better hair day.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
See, I think one of the issues has to do with perception, as you brought it out earlier. We have this, we're sold this image in the media, et cetera, about the strength of being young and the beauty. And you know this business far better than I do. That's your background. Most of what we see in the media is unreal.
Absolutely. It's absolutely unreal. And it all starts with airbrushing. Women believe what they see in magazine images, and especially in those wonderful hair color ads. They believe that that hair is that lustrous and that long and that shiny, and yes, it could be a wig. And that gets into being dissatisfied with themselves, you know, their body image, their makeup, their whatever.
Well, that's precisely my point. So, okay, good. I'll accept that. Let me ask you this. I told you I was going to ask you. Do you think your book is something that men would benefit from reading? Or, I mean, I know you wrote it for women, but do you think they would benefit?
Oh, yeah. Because I have a chapter in there, especially for men, that, let's see if I can find it, that has to do with the whole hair coloring thing.
Right.
I mean, let's see. Who's great at being gray? That's the chapter. But, you know, men have a problem with going gray. And they they want to get it over with. And maybe they've had some emotional baggage that comes from wanting to cover their gray hair. You know, they either want to do it to get a date or they want to do it to get a job. And maybe they're embarrassed about it. And maybe they'll even lock the bathroom door when they do it, you know? And every product has a long list of instructions and cautions and peel-off gloves, and the man says to read it and just says, the hell with it.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I, you know, coming from the opposite sex,
yeah.
I know a number of men that color their hair, particularly their beards. And, you know, it all has to do with the same issues that women deal with, you know, the virility, the attractiveness, the age factor, and so forth. I can tell you this. When I stopped coloring my beard, it was because I saw someone who had just colored his beard, friend. And when he came, you know, came into my home that morning, you could see the skin underneath the beard color. And I had never noticed that on myself before. And I thought, what did he do that caused his skin to be the same color as the beard, the dye?
Yeah.
And then when I, you know, when I applied it next, I saw the same thing. I washed it off, scrubbed it. It didn't come off. It had to wear off. But that was it. That was, you know, if what you're doing is so transparently obvious that what you're, you know, then to me that makes no sense whatsoever. And I think that as you can, I'm sure you can do this. You can look at some people and you know whether they colored their hair or they dyed their beard or not. Mm-hmm. You can tell the difference between natural hair
and
unnatural.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, that seems like that should be a turning point, a real fulcrum for all of us to realize.
Yeah. But nobody's fooling anybody once you get past the age of 24. You know, I'm willing to give Clairol and other companies the women between the ages of 14 to 24, because that's when they're experimenting with color, because it's fun and they want to be noticed and because they can, frankly. But once a woman reaches her late 30s, early 40s, when the grays become more apparent, she's going to rethink color. And maybe she's had an allergic reaction to it. Maybe she doesn't want chemicals on her head. And maybe her hair is just dull, dried out, and fried. But that's when they start really seriously thinking about it in their sort of late 30s, mid-40s. And then they have to come to a decision to either color or not. And that's where I come in.
Well, I think, again, your book is marvelously well done. It's slick, glossy. It's fully illustrated, and I think men would benefit from this as well. I understand that, you know, your publisher told you that they weren't going to reprint the book. What was that all about?
Well, you know, naturally it was a blow, mostly to my self-esteem. And then I sent my agent in armed with all sorts of demographics, and it's a revolution. But Simon & Schuster wasn't buying it. So then I had the rights reverted and began the process of looking for a printer. And it turned out most printers in America at that time didn't want to do too much color in a book. So I found a printer in China. They did an excellent job, and I published under the name of Silver Lining Beauty.
Maybe that's why the book stands out so much, because, I mean, clearly this is a very beautiful book, just as far as books go. Let me ask you this. If you were to give someone advice about their hair color, what would you tell them? Would you tell them that it is a matter of choice, you decide, or do you have advice? I mean, is your book supposed to be an advice book?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, this is a very personal issue, and women do have to decide for themselves, and they may not be ready yet, but they may be ready in a couple of years. So I took all of these factors into consideration, and I do think of it as an advice book. I mean, it covers everything from the best colors to wear with silver hair, to makeup tricks, to good skin care, how to keep gray hair looking modern. It covers lots of these topics, and then it gets into things like health issues with gray hair, from everything from like anemia to vitamin deficiencies to drugs. Smoking. Smokers are four times more likely to become prematurely gray.
Right.
And then it covers myths like scared white. How can you be scared white? You go to bed one night and you wake up the next morning and you're scared. And then it gets into care and treatment for gray and silver hair. But the thing I want to say is the last chapter is, hey, you don't have to stay gray. And we list 10 ways to know that gray hair isn't working for you. But they do have to be cumulative. You know, as I said before, we can all have good hair days and bad hair days. But when things start to add up, then you'll know.
What are those 10 ways?
Okay, remember, they have to be cumulative, okay?
Right.
All right. One, you feel older and less vital. Two, you look at people who have fully pigmented hair with envy. Three, you don't recognize yourself in pictures, store windows, or the mirror. Four, you've changed your makeup colors and you still don't feel bright enough. Five, you feel your career is in jeopardy. Six, you start worrying about younger women. Seven, you're tired of hearing people to tell you to color your hair. Eight, you've tried highlighting, low lighting, and every other kind of lighting, and you still feel there's something more you'd like to do to it. Nine, you begin to dress older. And 10, you don't feel like you. That's it. That's it in a nutshell.
Those are very interesting points. But, I mean, as you're going through them, I think many of them would apply to all of us.
At some point.
Yeah, in our natural, you know, aging process, you know, we're going to see ourselves differently over time because we are changing. And so I don't know. I mean, I am very sympathetic to the idea of going natural. I'm 100%, I suppose, behind that. But what I'm hearing is, well, only go natural if it feels good, as opposed to, you know, let's understand that you have the wrong idea about how you're supposed to look. You've been sold, some nonsense out mm-hmm. there by, you know, the various magazines like Vogue and 17. Sorry
yeah.
about that. You know, airbrushing and so forth. And, you know, to be a real person, you know, the most credible thing, the most authentic thing you can do is just be yourself. So I'm kind of getting mixed messages from you. Can you clarify that at all?
Yeah, I think the most important thing you can do is just be yourself, whatever you choose to be. And that's where I'm sending maybe a mixed message.
I see.
If you choose to color your hair, you better work at it. You better lighten it up. You better brighten it up. It better be the best hair color you can get for the money. And if you want to be authentic and natural and beautiful, you can also choose to do that. I think another important point, getting back to the survey, was
yes.
the freedom women felt. Freedom from having your roots done on a regular basis, whether you're coloring at home or going to a salon. Many women tell me that they feel free to let their hair blow in the wind without fear of roots. Other women have said they've had their colorist on speed dial and they simply had to break the habit.
Right.
And finally, the health and condition of the hair accounted for about 26% of the answers. But it's usually later when a woman discovers that her hair is silkier and softer and that the texture changes for the better. There's a myth going around that gray hair is coarser, and yeah, it usually is. It's a stubborn, wiry little thing. But get some growth going, and it does soften up.
One of the things I liked in your book was how you make the transitions. You talk about the many ways that you can go gray. Tell us about that.
The many ways that you can go gray.
Yeah, you call them transitions, or, you
yeah.
know.
Well, first of all, when a woman's going through transitioning, the first advice I would give to her is just relax. It's not going to be the end of your life as you know it, and it is going to be a change. But you can't judge what shade you will have until it's almost completed, because your red or black or brunette hair will be reflecting on your silvers. That's what hair without pigment does. It's highly reflective. And you may think it will be an unattractive shade of gray, but it's not what you're going to get. The next thing I would say is some women, you know, just want it to be over. They just want it to be done with. And it's at this stage that many of them pixie. But you don't have to. You can keep your hair long. And actually, the ombre trend is starting to be a very important trend right now. But at this stage of the game, I would suggest layers and zigzag parts and headbands and hats. You may not think you're a hat person, but there are some cute styles out there. And some women have told me that they hid under hats all winter until the spring, and then they were able to come out from hiding. Let's see. I think another thing I would say is don't listen to your friends. Your friends may be just a little bit jealous that you're going to do something that they're not ready to do yet, or they may think that you're doing something that's completely outrageous to them, completely foreign. You know, you'll get the stories, you won't look like yourself, and you won't be viable on the dating circuit, and you'll never get a job. But this is something that you want to do for yourself. And in the end, they'll see. Some will like it, some won't. But I wouldn't advise listening to naysayers of any ilk.
You know, I guess the marvelous message that I'm getting from you is going natural is a healthy, vital, vibrant way to live. Mm-hmm. But everyone has to make that decision in their own time and in their own way. Sure. And, you know, if they don't, well, that's okay, too. But if they're interested in doing it, you've created a marvelous book that's a guidepost for how they can do that, do it easily, what they can expect, and how they can even change their mind at some point down the road. Have I got that pretty well right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Listen, let's take a phone call. And I want to ask you about this event in Chicago as well.
Okay.
We have Cindy on the phone from Cincinnati, Ohio. Cindy, welcome to Provocative Enlightenment. You have a question or a comment?
I do have a comment. Thank you. This is for Diana. It's a comment thanking her for putting this marvelous book out. I am over a year now in my transition, and I haven't colored my hair in that time, and I have gone through that whole gamut of everything that she's talked about, friends, what people think, what people say, and ultimately, this book has made more sense of me doing this. I did quit because of a hair allergy. Every time I went to get my hair done, I would be in dire pain. And I'm like, why should I be doing this? And after I got her book and read it and even met some wonderful women who are also part of the Going Great, Looking Great Facebook page, I see how many women are naturally beautiful hair. And when you can see that their hair is naturally beautiful, you know that you can have that too, just as much as having anything you might get out of a bottle. And that freedom of knowing that you can get that just by letting nature take its course has been so freeing for me and powerful. And I just want to thank her for having the insight and being brave enough to put something like that out, because personally it has done wonders for me and helping me along this whole journey. So thank you, Diana.
Oh, Cindy, I'm so happy to hear that. I mean, it just makes my day. Thank you, and thank you for being brave enough to go silver.
It's been a journey, but I have a two-year-old daughter, and I personally am going to be 49 at the end of this year, and I want to be able to tell my daughter to be herself in any way that is, and I think this even more to me, to my words, is showing her that I'm not afraid to be that, and I hope that in future neither will she be. So I'm trying to open up a pathway for someone else in the future as well.
Well, you know, so many women that have daughters are trying to school them that they can be themselves, whatever it is, they can do it.
Right. And with the having the allergies, I really want to stress the importance to women who do have those type of symptoms that they really should think about how beautiful they can have without it. They don't need to go through that pain and let it go. I mean, it's your hair is going to be beautiful anyway. It's not what you think it is. Not what I thought it would be. I'm really enjoying it. It is softer. It is easier to take care of, and I'm just enjoying every minute of it. But I do know that it's really because of the group that I'm in and the support and what you have done for these ladies. If you've given us a place. That's what you have done. You've given us a place that we can go to and know, hey, we're okay too. Aww. And now all we need to work on now is getting our own magazine.
Cute. Thanks for the phone call, Cindy.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Diana, you have a Silver Sisters event coming up in Chicago. My wife suggested that this should be Sisters and Brothers, but tell us all about this event.
Well, it is going to be fabulous, if I do say so myself.
Good. I'll take that. I'd hope you'd say fabulous.
Well, you know, and I'm so delighted to announce that we'll be sponsored by Germac this year. And we are going to do the event in the Windy City. We just thought Chicago offered the kind of energy and excitement, you know, that goes well with the Silver Sisters spirit. So it always takes place in the fall. And it will be the weekend of October 25th. 26th,
what do you do at this event?
Uh-huh. I'm glad you asked that. Well, the first night, Friday night, it starts with a gala cocktail party at Cité Restaurant.
I'm going to ask you to go quickly. We're going to be short time here.
All right. On Saturday, we have a program with lots of guest speakers, including Candace Jordan, Chicago's very in-the-know personality, and we'll have Madeline Galdamez, who hooked you up with me, I believe. We'll have Arden Reese, who'll stage a fashion show with clothes provided by Neiman Marcus. We'll have George Bruno, otherwise known as the Sultan of Silver Hair. We'll present great hairstyling ideas. And then the kickoff, the highlight of the event, will be our famous Germac Silver Sisters strut at the Silver Bean in Millennium Park. And you can join us there if nothing else. We want every Silver Sister to be there and be recognized.
That sounds like men ought to come to this one, too.
Well, yeah,
listen, give your website real quick, like we're out of time.
My website is www.cafegray.com, cafe with a hyphen, gray.com. I have another website, www.goinggraylookinggreat.com. And I have a Facebook page.
I'm sorry. We've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment. I want to thank all of you for joining us today, especially our guest, Diana Lewis-Jewell, for sharing the power of going gray. I hope you enjoyed our show and will join us again next week. Until then, remember, wherever you are in the world, believing in yourself always matters.